Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. Today is March 10th, and I am pretty excited about our show topic tonight because we have been talking about this topic for quite a while. It's been coming up in our conversations. So we're going to go ahead and get started because we don't have a lot of time, but we do have a lot of things to say. And so, as always, I want to welcome our co-host to the show. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Dun-dun-dun-dun. This is going to be so exciting. How you doing, Dr. Guy?
I'm good. I'm ready to talk about this conversation because, you know, you and I talk about this offline all the time. So I am definitely open to hear what our guests have to say about it, but even our listeners if they want to chime in. And so I want to introduce my other co-host, Stacey Jade. Hey, Stacey.
Hey, Dr. Guy.
Are you ready for tonight's topic?
I am ready and ready to go.
Okay. So before we get into tonight's topic, I do want to introduce our guest tonight. And many of you probably know or have probably heard of our guest, especially if you're in the DFW area. But I do have the powerhouse couple, the Chisholms, Moses and Sonia Chisholm. Welcome to the show tonight.
Hello.
What's going on? We are happy to be in your presence again, Dr. Guy, as well as your team.
Well, I am happy to have you guys here because what I'm expecting to get from you guys is your level of expertise because you guys, you're a psychotherapist, you're a life coach. You do a lot of couple building things. And also, I kind of want to hear from your personal experience. You guys have been together 25 years, married 22. We'll be 22 this April.
Yes, in April. Yes, 22.
In April. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And so not a lot of couples can say that. And so anytime I have an opportunity to celebrate Black love, I'm all about doing that or just celebrating love in general. And so the fact that you guys, again, have been together 25 years, about to celebrate 22 years of marriage in April, I think that you have definitely some professional and personal input that you can add to our conversation tonight. So for those of you who don't know what our topic is for tonight, our topic is titled, Are Women or Men the Prize in the Relationship? And I kind of want you to sit with that for a minute and think about it. And I'm going to go to my guest first, and I'm going to allow them to just kind of delve into this however they choose to. What are their thoughts about the topic? Do they believe women or men are the prize? What does that look like? And then how does that contribute to the relationship? So Moses, Sonia, whichever one of you guys want to jump in there.
Okay, well, we've been talking about it. We sat here and kind of, you know, discussed it or whatnot. And so we wanted to give you guys a different perspective, I guess, you know. And so I think one of the things that we want to start off with is the actual definition of what a prize is, you know. I think some people may walk away with a different, maybe a different definition than what the actual definition is. So, and basically a prize, a thing that is given as a reward to the winner of a competition or in recognition of an outstanding achievement. So we wanted to kind of like discuss that. So Chisholm, can you start off with?
Well, basically, when you look at a prize, you look at something good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an internal and an external connection.
Right.
The external thing about a prize is the wrapping paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I love about my wife, if we present a gift or a prize to someone, she loves expensive wrapping paper. And I'm like, they're just going to throw that away. Why spend all that money on the wrapping paper? And she said, well, it's the presentation.
It's the presentation. Huh?
Yeah, you know, it's the presentation.
But I'm like, that's a lot of money just being thrown away.
But it's the effort that
you put into it. Correct. And
it's the aesthetics
that's
of
the
it.
Yeah, that's the external point of view that we're trying to make, that a lot of times people focus on the presentation,
mm-hmm.
the wrapping paper,
mm-hmm.
but they're wrapped
uh-huh.
around. I'm wrapped around a nice job. I'm wrapped around good credit. I'm wrapped around my car, mm-hmm. but there's nothing in the box.
So we've come to the conclusion that
Well,
a lot
of
people
you gotta let them soak on.
Okay, we want to soak. Okay,
We gotta process that comment that the box is empty.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm still stuck on the expensive wrapping paper.
But I'm all about the expensive wrapping paper. I'm with you, Sonya. I get that concept. So
mm-hmm.
I'm following you. I'm on board with you.
Okay.
So the only thing that we're saying is it's okay to have the expensive wrapping paper, what you wrapped around.
Mm-hmm.
But we want you to have some substance. So if you're going to call yourself a prize, what's the use of you being wrapped around all these beautiful things, but when I look inside your heart, there is no substance? So the question is, are you really a prize? So that's what
ooh.
That perspective that we want to come from, that a lot of people calling themselves a prize, but they really just majoring in being wrapped around expensive things, but no substance on the inside.
Empty boxes.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So, Stacey J, because you said you call yourself the realist. So, what's your take on are women or men the prize, or a response to what the Chisholms just said about are you the prize? Do you have the qualifications to really call yourself a prize? And not you in particular, but in general.
Well, with what they just said, that makes me think about a whole lot of things a lot differently, because what I was thinking is, in a relationship, there's no one person or a male or a female that is the prize. Like we discussed, I believe that the relationship is the prize, because it takes two to make a relationship work.
That's
and
fair.
The work that you put in, the relationship is the prize to your community, to your
yes.
family, to those that will benefit from that relationship and that growth of that relationship. That relationship
mm-hmm.
is the prize, not so much as the persons inside of that relationship being a prize to one another, because when you come together, you make one person.
Mm-hmm.
Two wholes
make one person. That's good. That's definitely a different take on it. So, Steve, what are your thoughts on are women or men the prize in a relationship?
So, from my perspective, I appreciate the opinions of our lovely panelists who've been engaged in, their relationship for that length of time, as well as Miss Stacey Jade. And I do appreciate from their 100,000-foot view of what's going on. But I'm out here in these mean Tinder, Facebook, Instagram streets.
Oh, God.
And it's a lot different down here, on the front lines. So it just depends on where you're at in your life, who is the prize. Generally, the advantage goes to women earlier. Maybe up until 30, depending on how you keep yourself. But after that, I think it shifts more to men, because women tend to have a smaller pool of men to select from because of their criteria changing or what they want or the idea they have of themselves. Now, I do agree wholeheartedly with the analogy about the prize. Now, what we have gone from is, the era where I believe, our panelists may have been dating, to the social media area where people can wrap themselves up and present themselves in certain ways on these social media platforms, whether it's women, twerking or, guys throwing money, those empty boxes that you're speaking of are a lot more prevalent and not based on substance, but just from a population standpoint, since they are less men than women, at a certain point, there's going to be a shift from, there being an available supply of candidates to there are less men available for women. So, depending on your age group, I believe it just depends. But generally, women earlier in life and men latter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's another take on it, that potentially the age of the female or male will determine if he or she can call him or herself the prize. So we kind of have three different working ideas on the table that we're going to talk a little bit more. But if you're just tuning in, this is Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk, and tonight's topic is, are women or men in the prize in the relationship? And if you have a comment or a question, you can call in at 914-205-5902 if you are streaming online. And you have a question or comment, just press 1. We would gladly like to hear your thoughts. So I'm going to kind of go back to what all of you guys have said. The Chisholm said you really kind of have to explore what's inside the package. And is this individual being superficial or not, or can they call themselves the prize? And then Stacey J said, well, the individual, he or she is neither the prize. The prize is the relationship. And then you have Steve saying, well, it's really about where you are. Your age in life will determine if you can call yourself the prize or not. So with all of these different working ideologies about this topic, how do they shape relationships? Or do they shape relationships, if any?
Well, I know when Ms. Chisholm was actually discussing, I think we had to come to the conclusion that you really have to be careful of that you have moving into a relationship, because sometimes it can set you up for failure. It can set you up for failure because sometimes you can come into a relationship very arrogant about, I don't know. It's good to say that, it's good to know, and it's very important that you go into a relationship knowing your worth, knowing your value. Mm-hmm. But you have to be careful of your attitude because it can set you up for failure, and it can make you look very, very self-centered. So we have to be, and it can set your relationship up for failure because sometimes you can go into a relationship with your point of view, but then you're not open to, anybody else's point of view, like your spouse or your mate. So you have to be careful about that attitude because it can set you up for failure.
And also, basically, from a therapeutic point of view, the question is, do you even make it to a relationship? Because the very first phase is bonding.
Mm-hmm.
And when two people come together, they are bonding. What you have on the inside of you, what I have on the inside of me, if it's compatible, it turns into a prize.
Mm-hmm.
It's like cooking a cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the cake mix have to blend with the egg.
Yeah.
And what if the egg said, no, I'm the prize? But then the cake mix said, I'm the prize.
But we're nothing without each
other. Yeah, we're nothing without each other. So what I believe, Dr. Guy and panel, that a lot of people don't even make it to a relationship. They stay stuck in the bonding phase.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that is bonding, that don't bond, turns into bondage.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these relationships is not even formulating because they think they are this one person team when we all are ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mix well, like my sister said, you can formulate something greater. And I think that's why Sonya and I've been with her for 20-some years, but I still like her. I don't just love her. I like her. And that because she mixed well with me, and I'm a better person with her.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I just think it's in the mixing. Are you really mixing well?
And it's in the attitude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like the concept of you guys both saying that, one, it's about your attitude. And so I'm going to sit with that topic for a minute, because do you all feel that there are some individuals who are unaware that they are bringing this I'm the prize type of attitude into what's a relationship, or as Moses said, they're struggling in relationships because of this concept, but yet they don't understand why they're struggling, because they feel like, hey, I'm a perfect catch. I'm a 10 out of 10. I'm slaying folks out here. So why am I not in this committed relationship that I want, or why, don't I have the type of relationship that I want? So is it possible that individuals are going into these relationships believing that they're a prize, acting as they're the prize, and they don't know that?
Yeah, I believe so, because a lot of times who you are is what you attract. And that's why I have to tell a lot of my clients, be careful talking about your ex, because you're really talking about yourself, So I think a lot of people...
You need to say that again.
Be careful when you're talking about your ex or that person that broke your heart, because 9 out of 10, pain attract pain. And Dr. God, what I in my 29 years of therapy, a lot of people are not developed, and because they undeveloped, they have a perception of themselves, and they end up codependent or narcissists or narcissistic. And they think they're something when they really handicapped. So I think a lot of people need to develop a relationship with themselves. And if they're able to do it, they'll find
Did
out.
You hear
I'm,
that,
only,
guy?
I'm only an ingredient.
Okay,
Moses,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the slight interruption from Stacey J, but she's just hating on the fact that I believe that there should be steps in the dating process, and my step number one is know thyself and self-awareness. She just wants you to be self-aware and doesn't believe in the steps. So I apologize for that. Please continue.
I believe you should date yourself, know thyself. Okay, I'm sorry.
Only thing I was saying is if you know yourself, you'll know that I am an ingredient. Like, for instance, Sonya and I, we have a practice, and we've been running our practice for going on 9 years. I'm the clinician, but Sonya is great at administration. But together we run a practice. I know who I am, and I know my strengths and my limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know I got it going on, but I'm limited.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if someone can understand that they are an ingredient, I'm just an ingredient, and I'm looking to be mixed with something that can make me greater.
Yeah,
instead
come.
Of you saying, I know I'm the stuff, when
right.
you're not.
Right. And so it's a false confidence that you come into a relationship with. And we can set ourselves up. We have very high expectations for others, and we have no substance ourselves. But we want something that we not. You know what I'm saying?
And over 45% of divorces end up because of unrealistic expectations.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And funny you said that about the unrealistic expectation, and it's on both sides. It's kind of what I've heard in practicing and working with my clients is that women will get married and have this expectation that we're married now, he's going to change and stop doing this, or he's going to start doing something. And then men have this expectation that, oh, we're married now, and she's not going to change, but in essence, then she changes. And so I think that expectation part is critical, whether, you know, you're in the dating phase, you've just moved into the marriage phase, but definitely in that whole self-awareness piece, it ties back in.
We call it painful expectation. That's what we call it.
And that's because you come with the representative of who you want to be,
mm-hmm.
but you have not became what you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you've been led with this wrapping paper,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Because why do you have a failed relationship?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've been in this world for a while, and if the behavior is a mystery, tap into the history.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue to have failed relationship after failed relationship, it points to something that's in yourself. So,
yeah.
Dr. God, I just believe people need to go internal and grow within themselves. And once you grow, you'll learn that I'm only an ingredient looking to be connected with something else that can make me greater, and I can be a better contributor to society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot of undeveloped people, and that's my point that I want to make. And this is why we need to do away with I'm the prize, when you can really say I have substance. You know, I think that's what people need to say.
Now, this is going to be a question that may be somewhat difficult to answer. But on the outside looking in, do you guys believe that in the realm of dating that it has shifted? Let's take in the last 20 years that maybe there was this ideology that the woman is the prize, and as the prize, she deserves X, Y, and Z. And now in 2019, there's a shift to where men seem to carry themselves with more of a attitude, as Sonya said, persona, that, hey, you should just be, you know, excited to be in my presence because I'm a man. Have you guys seen that in maybe your practice? Have you heard about it? Because it seems there's a shift that has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember when Chisholm and I got married. Well, when we was dating.
Just to be transparent. We're going to be a little transparent.
Yeah, here. But Chisholm thought I was walking around saying I was surprised because I'm a Catholic. Well, I'm a new
Catholic. You know what? You wore that T-shirt.
Well, I can't help it. See, we were stepping in the step show, and I'm the cane master, by the way. You know, and at that particular time, I was testifying. I was 19 years old. I was in college, and I was a virgin.
Mm.
So maybe because I was walking around saying I'm a virgin and I'm waiting on my wife to come, maybe she thought that I was surprised because I did have a shirt on, and it says, "Don't blame me, God made me pretty."
Well, that's why I said you have to be, this is the thing. Yes, that's exactly what you wore, but guess what?
But you thought I was stuck up when I was just confident.
You know what? We're going to leave it at that because I still believe that
you thought. So you thought I was surprised. And see, this is the thing. I knew I was a young black man, and I knew I had quality. You did.
But it was one thing that drew me to you, though. You know, I'm not going to lie. I love the confidence that you had.
And you go out and twirl a cane.
Yes, but I had to come in there and sit down. I had to get some balance.
So that's the advice. If you want a woman, you got to get your cane twirling down.
Right, you got to twirl a cane.
She thought I was surprised, and maybe because I wore that shirt, do you guys think because I had a shirt on, "Don't blame me, God made me pretty," did that look like I was saying I was surprised? Absolutely.
I want to jump in real quick, and I want to address what you were saying earlier about your mate. And my grandmother used to say your mate is your mirror. So a lot of times, you know, you will have those qualities that manifest in your mate, and you don't understand why is he acting like this, why is she acting like that. And speaking on your confidence, I understand that I have been accused of being arrogant on maybe one or two occasions, but what I've noticed
is the
accusation depends on the person's perspective. So if they're uncomfortable with my confidence, I'm arrogant. But if they're a confident person themselves, as your wife identified as you, is two confident individuals, that's a wonderful cake, like you said. So, you know, I think that you both were confident enough that she didn't think you was arrogant, although you may have joined a fraternity that may have that stereotype.
I think we are all at a point to where we can probably look back in our heyday potentially and maybe pinpoint a time where we might have came across as the person who thought that they were the prize. And I'll take some ownership and say maybe that was my attitude, and so my license plate said something like "too snobby for you." Something like that might have led people to believe that I thought that I was surprised. But I am saying today that I did believe that I was surprised because my parents told me that I was surprised, and my parents told me that I was so wonderful and gifted and talented and gorgeous and that, you know, I was just the best little star walking this earth. And so that's why I'm saying, like, do we see a difference in individuals today that are dating that relates to this concept of being the prize? And is there anything wrong with believing that you are the prize? Because you guys are saying it's just a level of confidence.
Are we getting it misconstrued, prize in knowing your worth and knowing what you are worthy of? Because I don't see that as saying I'm a prize by knowing my worth.
Well, once again, as the only person out in these mean Tinder, Facebook, Instagram streets, that's what's going on. Like,
well,
you know, you can speak practicality.
Not if your parents instill in you some work, some self-work, don't go on Facebook putting your butt all out in the world, but when you date a young man,
all of that, but
to know
at the same time,
worth, it's different.
As I understand, you know,
your
mother
would... the people you date, Steve.
Your mother was supposed to tell you that. Everybody's mama I date told him that. But I don't have to look at you the same way. Like, I have an evaluation based on, as the Chisholm said, what I see in the box. So just because your mama saw six things in the box, I may see three. So, and I might see another woman that has six. But your mama was supposed to tell you that because she was a good mama. You know, to go out there giving your cookies to everybody. You special. Your mama was supposed to do that. That's what your daddy was supposed to do. But, you know, when we get into the actual dating value sexual marketplace, it shifts. You know, I think we look at, from a traditional standpoint, how society has changed, you know, where the man was the breadwinner, women didn't work, so you had to go find your good man. That was the movement. And then it shifted to the feminist movement where women were moving and shaking and, you know, oh, you had to get you a good woman that was about something. So I think as we move into the next generation, there is more of an equality. If you talk about how people date, you know, and splitting checks and going Dutch and things of that nature. So you, and I have to go back to this, you know, related to business, as the internet has become pretty much the most valuable commodity since oil, we have what's called the attention economy, where people go for attention. Businesses want your attention. They want views and likes. They want your eyes on something, but that doesn't necessarily mean it translates to sales. So people have commoditized the attention and lack the substance. So the fake it till you make it stuff is kind of been brought forward again. So in order to really understand that, I always look at, like I said, the raw numbers. How many men are there? How many women are there? What is the social economic status of this person versus that person? What's the population? So if I look down those lines, and traditionally men have no problem dating women who make less than them or are younger than them. That's a problem, generally speaking, that women have. They don't want to date anybody that, you know, is socioeconomically poorer than them. They want a man who's established. So when I look at those factors, like I said, women have an advantage in their 20s and 30s. It dissipates after about 35 because of those things that women are more attracted to. So once again, that's why I'm reinforcing, I think early on, women are the prize. You're not saying this is exclusively the case all of the time, but generally speaking, as men age, they have a greater value in the dating marketplace because of their acumen, resources, all the things that women say they want that generally younger men don't have at those particular points when they're at their hottest.
You're right, brother. You're right.
You're right. I agree with that, Moses. He's like, you're right. Okay.
I can add, and the reason why I say he's right is because 85% of all our clients are women. 85% of all our clients that come to our practice are women. And what I've learned through counseling them, especially the ones who got good credit, drive nice cars, got their own house. I got my own house. I got my own car. Work hard. I mean, and ultimately what happens is they say, I'm the prize. And I'm not going to date no one that's not financially, that can't take care of me financially. So therefore, they walk around with a mindset because I'm wrapped up around all this expensive paper. I wear Gucci, I'm Louis Vuitton, but then I'm lonely, you know. So from the perspective of what he was saying, I see the other extreme. I see a lot of women coming into my office saying they are the prize, but they're lonely, and usually they are trying to fix somebody who have potentials and end up hurting, but in their mindset, they're the prize.
I'll agree with you. Even in my practice, the majority of clients that I see are women, and the struggle is real. That's really the commonality for a lot of the women as it relates to their dating lives, is that they're very successful in their careers. They do identify as being the prize because of the things that they have obtained, whether it's degree, financial status. But one of the things that I have noticed is that when we start to talk about the self and those internal workings, there are a lot of broken women who still identify as the prize. But that brokenness affects, like Sonia said, their attitude. It affects how they communicate with people. It affects how they talk to people. And so I think it's difficult to see yourself as the prize externally because you possess these material items and not really be the prize inside, which goes back to that empty box in you that you kind of talked about, and not really wanting to deal with that, right? Because That's the mm-hmm. ugly stuff that makes me mm-hmm. question really who I am and am I really mm-hmm. the prize. And so mm-hmm. They want to stray away from that concept. And I, even when I've kind of had these conversations with men, it's the same for men who have reached, you know, a level of financial status, but they got some stuff on the inside that they have just not worked out. And because of that, it's really preventing them from moving forward in their relationships and dating.
And, you know, I have a question that, you know, I think that, you know, the attitude of I'm the prize, you know, with that attitude, I guess my question would be, if you are the prize, then why do you make poor decisions? You know, that's my question to women or men who have this attitude. If you are the prize, then what is it about you that causes you to make poor decisions, you know, in choosing a mate or in choosing a relationship, I mean, choosing a spouse or a partner in a relationship? That's what I want to ask.
And that's a really good question. Like, for me, I would go back to what I tell my clients, it's the thinking. Individuals will find a way to create rationalizations that are irrational to rationalize irrational behavior. So instead of them owning that what I am doing is not the healthiest, it's not the best, or may even be irrational, I can rationalize in 10 different ways why this makes sense to me and can continue to do the same thing, even though I'm not getting what I want, because in my mind I told myself, this is what, you know, excellence looks like. This is what, you know, this ideal person in my head that I am looks like, and these are the type of decisions that I make. And not really wanting to hold myself accountable.
Well, I think that from what my opinion is, they don't think they make poor decisions. They're disconnected from the reality of their true market values. You find
it's irrational.
Somebody with a six-pack, but all they do is eat cookies and don't work out. But they think that that's what they deserve because they've gone through the process that, you know, the nice Kappa gentleman mentioned. They're educated. They weigh the right labels. They went to the right schools. They pledged the right fraternity, sorority or fraternity. So I'm supposed to have what my mother told me because my mama told me I was special and I was supposed to have my prince. My prince looks like this. So I'm only going to date people that look like this because that's what my prince looks like instead of, you know, going to the gym and working out and being in the presence of, you know, people who are in shape, understanding what that lifestyle is. But, you know, I should be me and I should get everything because my mama told me that. So, you know, that is more or less what, you know, I see in that regard is not being aware or cognizant of what your dating value is. And that's why I was saying that men have a higher value as we get older. So.
Yeah, I agree.
You don't want to agree with that. I definitely would have to agree with that too.
My brother, what's your name again, bro?
I'm Steve.
Steve.
And I'm still out here in these mean streets, slaying dragons.
I know, man. It's hard out here. You know, it's hard out there.
I know it's hard, man. And you know these dragons, they got fire breathing breath and scales, and man, they nasty. They can fly. They're quicker than you think they are, but, you know, I got my armor on, though. I'm good.
Just in case you guys are just tuning in, you're listening to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk, and I have my co-host, Stacey J, and our guests of tonight are Moses and Sonia Chisholm, and our topic is, are women or men the prize in the relationship? And so, if you're just joining the conversation, if you have comments that you want to make or even questions for our guests, feel free to call. It's 914-205-5902. And so if it sounds like we're on the consensus with this concept about if someone is the prize, they really need to make sure that not only is the gift wrapping expensive on the outside, but that the gift underneath has some substance. But then my question to you all, and this is really everybody on the panel, what does having substance mean? Because that's it's so subjective, right? So how do we define substance?
It's definitely not the wrapping.
Okay, so what is it?
Well, what's the wrapping for me?
It's not.
a lot to do with
it.
Like,
it has nothing to do with the rapping.
It has a lot to do with the rapping from a male perspective, because initially men are attracted by physicality. If I don't see something that I am attracted to, then you can have more substance than a molecule, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about protons, electrons, mm-hmm. and neutrons all you want, but that don't mean we're dating. And it speaks to, and I think maybe, you know, our friends the Chisholms can speak to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of times what you'll see is once women get their paper right, they be like, oh, if I could just go back and have get these 20-year-old titties that I used to have, you know, I can rule the world and everything will work out. So, you know, we go get them titties done, and we go get that booty done, and then that's all we think with.
There are many different shapes and sizes that women and men come in, and there is always someone out there that will love and like them. So it is not about the
package. In theory, there is not enough men to love all the women and women to love all, like, there are more women than men. So there's not one,
okay,
it's
I'm
not
so,
a one-to-one ratio.
I'm sorry,
so
I can't
Stacey Jade and Steve, I'm kind of in the middle of the fence with this, right? Because my question to you all is, how do we define substances? Like, if someone says, oh, I think that there's more depth to me than this pretty paper package wrapping, what is substance? And then just to comment on the gift wrapping paper is irrelevant. I don't think the gift wrapping paper is irrelevant, because if that's the case, Sonia and so many other people wouldn't spend the time getting pretty gift wrapping paper, because it
mm-hmm.
helps. It's not the only thing.
It does.
But mm-hmm. it helps. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it is the only thing. But if you gave me a package and it was wrapped in brown paper, I will
mm-hmm.
say thank you. But if you give me a package that's pretty dialed up and blinged out, I'm going to say thank you, boo. There's a difference
mm-hmm.
in my response and how I receive
that's
the
right.
package based on the
mm-hmm.
external presentation of it. It is not everything, but it is important.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of goes to the person
that you are. That kind of speaks to the person that you are, because if you give me a gift that is not wrapped in pretty package, but the inside of the package is a diamond ring, it doesn't matter what you wrap it in. I don't care as long as I got the diamond ring.
I still want the diamond ring on the inside, but I'm not going to lie and say I like the pretty package on the – like, that's me personally. I'm not going to say I don't like the pretty package.
That's going to change over years. You're not going to keep it. That's the thing. What you're going to keep is what's on the inside.
Stacey J, you didn't hear me say that the package is the only thing that's important. What you heard me say is I'm not going to exclude that package don't matter. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to say that. And I'm just speaking for me personally. Like, I can't speak for nobody else on this call. But what I'm saying is
that package don't matter.
If you bought a package that's a six pack and it turned around and now I can't see his toes, that package matters.
Mm-hmm.
Holistically speaking, guys, this is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Holistically speaking,
mm-hmm.
it all matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the thing. It's a contradiction mm-hmm. if you have an internal substance, but you don't display an external if you're not displaying it externally.
Mm-hmm.
If I love myself in an internal way, I'm going to get some good wrapping paper,
mm-hmm.
meaning
mm-hmm.
I'm going to wrap myself around.
Yes!
All these people's.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wrap myself around. I'm into my body.
Yeah.
I still go
mm-hmm.
to the gym four or five times a week
mm-hmm.
because internally
mm-hmm.
I'm not just trying to go to the gym to have muscles. I'm trying to go
mm-hmm.
to the gym so I can live longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, if you have internal connectivity,
mm-hmm.
it's okay to have a wrapping paper that's conducive
mm-hmm.
to your internal connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
I just have problems with people who don't have internal connectivity,
mm-hmm.
but they so they're spoiled,
mm-hmm.
they're materialistic,
mm-hmm.
but when you tap on the inside, they don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So as a holistic person, if you are stable on the inside, it should show up on the outside.
And let me just bring another perspective.
Because I like you.
Yeah, and I like you too. But
you be dressing. And you don't even dress for me.
I appreciate
Tiffin
that.
Tiffin be coming to the office. I'm like, where did you get that from? Mm-hmm. And the love that she has for herself, how she wraps them jeans around them hips.
And I'm like, baby, I appreciate the confidence, but I do know.
Them hip flips and fingertips be good. So what I'm saying, my sister, I understand that Chisholm may change, and Chisholm has changed mm-hmm. throughout our marriage. Mm-hmm. But I think you got to have internal connectivity, and it will manifest on the external way. Mm-hmm. So I think it goes both ways.
Yes, I think it goes both ways as well. And also, just to add to it, you know, I love a man who can provide for me. You know, that's my security. But I also love a man that smells good, if you understand what I'm saying, that looks mm-hmm. good, that's going to dress himself up to, so I can be attracted to him. I love that, but I see now, though, sometimes men can feel like, well, you should just love me because I'm providing for you, you know. Mm-hmm. But we also want that attraction. We also want you to be into your hygiene, your body,
right,
your hair, you know what I'm saying? We want that as well. It's not just on a man. We're visual. I feel like I'm visual as well. I want a man that I'm attracted to.
So you like
so
these
it's
arms.
Not just enough for you,
like
you to bring a paycheck.
You like these arms, though.
Huh?
You like these arms.
Oh, I love
you guys.
Things.
Oh, God. Look, I want to
as long as you don't drop the cane now, you still got to twirl the cane like you did it when you was 19, right?
Things change.
Hey, life is like the cane. Listen, brother, life is like the cane. Just because you drop, don't stay down there and pick it back up. You know what I'm saying?
All right. I feel you.
Things change. You guys, we do have the question that I posed that we have kind of been spending some time talking about is, how do we define substance potentially? And so one of our listeners said that substance are the qualities that are not visible. It's intelligence, it's integrity, it's compassion, emotional intelligence, and sincerity. And so that's how one of our listeners defined substance. And so I definitely would agree with you that sounds like something that if someone said, well, I'm this wonderful catch and I'm the prize, but I also have substance. And if they said that this is what substance means to them, that would be impressive to me. But I think it's not just one or the other. It's really this kind of holistic. And I think that's kind of what we kind of went back and forth in our conversation tonight when we kind of started talking about the taping, the wrapping paper and what's on the inside. And so it's not one or the other, I don't think. We're talking about how do I become holistic myself, and that means I'm going to work on this internal stuff, these qualities that our listener just mentioned. But I don't think you can have all these wonderful, great qualities on the inside and that not carry out to the outside, right? Like you cannot feel these things on the inside and not care about your presentation. My experience is, especially as a clinician, is that people who don't feel these things on the inside don't take the time to present themselves in a way that shows it on the outside, and vice versa. So it's not about being superficial and just focusing on the look, but it's about this is how I feel on the inside, and because I feel this way on the inside, I'm going to exhibit that on the outside.
And to answer your question concerning about substance, this is what I believe, Dr. Guy and friends, that if you have substance, the question is, are you growing? Are you developing?
Mm-hmm.
Because substance, when it connects to other substance in this world, you're going to make a difference. You're going to grow. You're going to develop. You're going to achieve. And you're not just going to achieve in a partial way, but you're going to achieve holistically.
Mm-hmm.
So two of the main words that I think that points to if a person has substance is, are you growing and are you developing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of people are dying or they're divorcing or they disconnecting. Mm-hmm. So if a person has substance, are you growing? And are you growing in your marriage? Are you growing your relationship with your parents? Are you growing in your career? Are you growing holistically? And that points to not just the wrapping paper, but the internal characteristics of a person.
I'll go with that substance is something that's ever evolving. That how I define my substance at 20 is not how I define my substance at 30. It's not how I define my substance at 40. And I would imagine when I reach 50, it's going to look very different as well. And so it's that growth process that should be evolving as I evolve as a person. At least that was my takeaway from that.
Yes, exactly, because ultimately, I remember when I met Chisholm years ago, I had no idea that one day I can even become a doctor or I can have my own business. I was fine just being a mentor, but Chisholm saw a greater ingredient in me. You need to go back to school. I see you've been the next Dr. Phil. And when you have somebody who can see substance in you that you may not be able to see yourself, I think Chisholm reached down on the inside and show me my greater self. And that's why I'll forever love her for that. And I think when two people come together, you shouldn't act like you're the prize. You should see the prize, the prize possession that's in that other person. You should pull that out to grow together. So that's what I was meaning when, and I do understand what you're saying, Dr. God, because I didn't see myself, where I'm at now in my achievements, I didn't see that 20 years ago. But Chisholm saw it in me, you know what I'm saying? So I most definitely feel when you do evolve, you should see certain things about who you are. But who are you connecting with, and are you growing with the person that you are connecting with?
Shout out to Ms. Chisholm for having that nice talent evaluation. You just had the NFL Combine. I'm sure she picked her a star, even though, he hope he didn't drop that cane that day. And I want to speak to what you just said. I think that what we have experienced as we've shifted, from that time that you spoke of, is you talked about the potential. I think what we have now is people that don't want the potential. They want everything ready-made. There was a time in which people would grow together, and that would be the bond that made the relationship work. But now, there are so many people that have these checklists and, the unmentionables, the things you can do without or whatever the case may be. And, they're dating by a checklist. Things that you're not going to accept. Planning is great. You have to have a plan.
Deal breakers.
The Marines and,
your deal breakers.
Your deal breakers. Yeah, even the Marines and the SEALs got plans. They don't just jump in the war zone and be like, well, let's run around and, till we figure something out. Like, you got to have planning. So, you're speaking to that era where people really identified each other about, those intangible qualities or characteristics and stuck with it and rolled with it. Rather than, like we say, hey, what's your credit score? Oh, man, I can't work with 625. It was nice talking to you. Let me holler back at me when you get over 700. So, there's so many of those little things that keep people from those relationships because they're not willing to put in the work. They want everything ready-made. And, I still have to go back to this. In China, there was a long time where the birth rate was suppressed. And now what you have is, a ratio of men to women is disproportionate. So in China, women are the prize. You see a lot of Chinese men migrating to Africa to find a wife because there are not enough women in China. So in China, women are the prize. So if, you want to be the prize and you're a woman, then go to China. It's just hot for you over there. But in these United States of America, it don't work like that.
As always, I'm going to disagree with that comment about women not being the prize. I think that both can be the prize. I think that the woman can be the prize, the man can be the prize. But I also believe that they have to be able to see the prize in their mate. So I cannot just feel like, oh, I'm the prize, and you just need to be so happy that you're with me, and I, you have the ability to be in my presence. But I think the individual has to be able to see that their mate has those qualities or different qualities that makes him or her a prize as well. And then going back to what Stacey J said about it's not really the individual per se being the prize. It's having a healthy relationship. It's the gold medal that everybody is striving to walk away with. And so you kind of go into it, with maybe a bronze, and then because you have this mate that is working with you and you guys are building together, then you move up to the silver and you continue to grow together and develop because you both value yourself as the prize. Now your relationship has become the prize. and you're reaching to hit whatever this goal looks like. And that looks different in every relationship. And I think once it reaches goal, it starts back over again because that's the ebb and flow of the relationship. So you guys may have peaked in this area of the relationship, and you're in the valley in another, and now you have to work to build to come out of the valley so that you can peak in another aspect of your relationship. So for me, that's my concept of, are men and women the prize? I think they can both be the prize in a relationship.
Well, let me ask you a question. So when you say I'm the prize, are you saying I'm the reward?
Oh, you speaking to me, sir? What I'm speaking to is just the numbers. Like, you know, when you are a girl in your 20s, there are a whole lot of frogs to kiss to find you a prince. As you get older, the pond gets smaller, and there ain't as many frogs, but you still got to kiss them. When you're a guy, you know, as you get older, they're about the same amount of frogs. You know, like, I give a good example, and Dr. Guy hates when I say this. You know, I love old cars, you know, but ain't nothing like getting a new car with the key fob and it start right up, and, you know, you got the heated seats and, you know, the climate control and the translucent moonroof, and, you know, it just feels good. Not that I don't like the 69 Mustang. I appreciate that, too. But, you know, sometimes the Mustang, it don't start up right. You know, you got to talk to it. You got to rub it. Please, Betty, start up this time for me. You know, I'm going to get your oil changed or whatever the case may be. You know, you don't have that with the 2019 Lexus. It just, you know, it just the new cars, it just smell different. It ride different. It just start up fast. It's just something about a new car. Everybody like a new car. So, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying,
you know what?
Numerically speaking.
Mm-hmm. The fact that you compared women to cars, you already know I have an issue with. But
I will try not to be too. I will try not to be too graphic. I was making some inferences.
The fact that now, because I'm not in my 20s, I got to beat a Mustang. I'm not gonna trip on the fact that I'm a Mustang. Cause
you might not be a Mustang.
Day,
you know, you might be a Ferrari. You know, but it's still
I'm a
hybrid.
Old
you know.
I'm going to go with the old 69 any day. Any day.
That's okay, Dr. Guy, because if you've seen
you know,
the
69
girls,
are environmentally friendly. They're talking about outlawing them. You know, we're trying to go to green. We're trying to get this Tesla up in here. You know, Elon Musk is what's hot now. I'm just saying, you know, we got to be cognizant of what's going on in the marketplace. So, you know, if you – the problem I'm saying is, like, you know, the women, as they get older, from my experience, they still carry the same values of when they were in their 20s. And they're like, well, I can find somebody else, which you may not. But I'm just saying, numerically speaking, there comes to a point where you've done that too long and they ain't nobody. So, you know, and like we talked about earlier, as women have more criteria and characteristics of what they're willing to accept, you know, versus men who are like, okay, well, I don't have a problem mentoring somebody who might be more accepting. But, you know, because we have the list and the deal breakers and it's got to be this and he's got to go into a fraternity, you know, he's got to, you know, make six figures. He's got to be 6 feet, you know, he's got to have 6 inches other places, you know. And there ain't a whole lot of them people. Like, you know, if we just talk about, and Dr. Guy talk about this all the time. Like, if we talk about height alone, you know, we're down to 3% of the population. If you're talking about black men, there's only, you know, 30 million black men in the U.S. I mean, 30 million black people. Now, basically what I'm saying – depending on how you set up your criteria, women end up trying to date or think that they only deserve the top 10% of men in any city or in the country. So if all of the women have these criteria, you know, those guys know who they are. They know who they 6 feet, make 6 figures, and got 6 inches other places, and they work out. You know, they ain't really necessarily trying to settle down because they don't have to. So it goes back to, you know, what I talk about in terms of the mating equation. You know, women want access to men with resources and the things that they desire. And men generally want access to all the women. You know, when you were the king, you know, back in the days, you didn't just get the queen and be like, oh, well, you know, I'm straight with her. Like, you had the queen, you had concubines because you was the king. So, you know, we're diametrically opposed, you know, unless we're talking about, you know, how we've been trained to be monogamous. And some people don't necessarily embrace that. So, you know, that's why I say for women, as you get older, it becomes more difficult. Shout out to Miss Chisholm for being a good talent of any way to lock a guy down who dropped the cane, you know, once, twice a year, you know. but we can live with that.
But he was a pretty boy.
Yeah, that's acceptable. You know what I'm saying? He had the top 10% of cane droppers. But you know what I'm saying? She saw that. Like, oh, you know, he dropped the cane, but once this semester, that's my guy. So, you know, what we look at is, you know, those things that, you know, Miss Chisholm, did in order to recognize how to pick out her mate that may be lacking from the people that are still in the marketplace?
Well, one of the things, Steve, that you just said, I think our caller kind of piggybacked on and made a comment that and this is in reference to that, back to that substance piece and the packaging on the wrapping. Our caller said that he's a big gentleman, but he gets a lot of compliments because of his inner strength. It shines through because of his confidence. And so sometimes the packaging can be deceptive. And so he's right. A lot of times the package looks real pretty on the outside. And it's nice, and people want it, and then they open it up, and the box is empty. And so I think that's why Stacey Jade was saying, Sonya and Moses was saying, that it's really about having that inner stuff, the inner workings of who you are, that really allows you to call yourself the prize, whether it's a male or a female. You kind of need both of them. You know, one or the other doesn't seem to be ideal, but if you can carry both, then you're doing a lot better.
In a practical world, but like I said, if you're in China and you're looking for a woman, it ain't but 10,000 and they're 100,000 men, they're going to be some messed up women, and dudes will be like, well, I just need a wife, so I'm just going to put up with it. Like, you know, like, idealistically, I understand what you're saying, and you're right, but just speaking to the numbers and logically, that's not how it's going to play out.
And I understand that, too, but I disagree with someone even saying that they are a prize. To me, it points to pride and narcissism. Because I believe if you are a prize, you shouldn't even say it, because you don't have to. If you look at some of the most valuable things that's in the earth, you won't find them on the surface of the earth. Like a pearl is in is in almost the bottom of the sea. You know, gold is underneath the ground. A diamond is bound in rocks underneath the ground. But you have to dig to go get these substances. And once these substances are found, they don't have to say anything. If you are who you are, you shouldn't have to go around saying that I am the prize. Because if you look at the word prize, it's a reward. And a reward is a thing that is giving. It's a recognition of one's service or achievement. You don't have to brag on who you are when you who you are. So I believe that you shouldn't even say it. I believe you should say, I'm substance. And because I'm this diamond, I know who I am, but I'm a pearl. I know who I am. I think single people or people in general should drop the mindset saying that they are the prize. Because who told you that? And how was it measured? And where's your evidence?
My mama and my daddy told me that, Chisholm.
But it's your mom and daddy told you.
Well, Mr. Chisholm, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But Mr. Chisholm, I agree with you. But the problem
I
is
the title
you,
of someone being spoiled.
Mr. Chisholm, I agree with you. But the problem in this climate is people aren't digging. Like, you know, if people were miners or, you know, versed in, you know, deep sea diving and seeking out pearls, but it goes back to the attention economy. Like, you know, not to speak to my age, but, you know, the only twerking I used to see was a freaknik at the club. Now I get this on my phone because we based on that attention economy, that surface layer marketing of look at me, you know, and that's what those decisions are made of, you know, initially from that climate.
And those are just rocks on the ground. And you know, rocks on the ground
Correct.
Is nothing but hard dirt. And once two rocks come together and make hard dirt, and this is why 100% out of people who get married, 50% end up in a divorce because they don't come with substance. So only thing I'm saying is if you dig on the inside and find your substance would speak more than you. No person should walk around testifying that they are a prize. Because if they tell me a prize, I'm going to say, prove it. And where's your evidence? Because I'm looking for growth and development, not just by what you said. So I think when our marriage was about to fail back in 2010, I had a mindset that I was the prize. Chisholm should be happy just to be beside me, and I'm a make her a great person.
Being your shadow.
Yeah, being in my shadow. So I suffered and almost lost one of the best investments in the world, thinking that I was the prize. And then what I learned is that
there's no prize, there's partnership.
Yeah, I was empty,
mm-hmm.
meaning
mm-hmm.
I was only the chicken,
mm-hmm.
but you were the season.
Mm-hmm.
And together you came and you gave me flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the chicken without the season? You know, mm-hmm. a chicken that's cooked without season is just what?
Bland chicken.
But if you put that season in that chicken, now you both become a great meal. So I just think, Dr. God, people need to really testify to the substance that they are. And if you are faithful to your substance, who are you mixing with? Because if you mix well, then that's when you can testify and say, I am the prize because I'm able to mix and grow with other people. That's just my point of view.
But you know what is a challenge, I think, for some individuals is that I might not really feel like I'm the prize, but I want you to believe that I'm the prize. And so I tell you that in hopes of maybe even a little bit I begin to believe it. Maybe I have some feelings that internally I just don't feel worthy. And my way of actually dealing with that is trying to project or create a personification that looks good on the outside. It's the expensive wrapping paper that Sonia talked about, because the inside doesn't necessarily feel all that put together. And so I think
that's
a lot
good.
Of individuals struggle with that incongruency. And so I don't want us to knock people for telling people that they are the prize, because maybe that's their own way of doing self-therapy, because they're not open yet to the process of actually going to get professional help. So they believe if I say it enough times, then I'll believe it. And so I'm kind of on the fence with that, right? Like I don't want them to not tell people that they're the prize, but
Dr. God, if you had to look at it from this way, if you go to a magic show, no matter how that person make it seem real, it's an ideal. It's fake. It's not real. And I think a lot of times we can look ourselves in the mirror and we can say different things, different affirmations. But is it really real? Is it a reality? R. E. Where's the evidence? A. Is it adaptable? L. Is it logical? But if you look at that ideal, are you falling in illusional thinking? And sometimes you can believe a lie so long that you become delusional because there's no evidence, because people fail to accept. And that's the ideal versus what's real. It's just, being a psychotherapist, I've learned that a lot of people, they believe in the ideal and not the reality. And the reality is you are special. The reality is you don't have to go around saying it. You can just grow it. A tree is still a seed. Everything that's in that seed ultimately becomes the tree, but the seed needs to be planted.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, a lot of times people get caught up on the ideal of what they want to be and never really make it to the reality of who they are. So people can say that all day long, but they lie. If L-I-E means living in entanglement. You're still entangled.
Mm.
So we have to teach people what works. And what works is you have substance, but you don't always have to walk. Like the richest people in America, you'll never know that they're rich because they don't walk around bling bling. And that's what Barack Obama says. You know what I'm saying? It's just I don't always have to put on Facebook that I love my wife. I can. Behind closed doors, how I take care of my wife, you would see that I love my wife. It's just I think there's a difference between the ideal versus the reality when it comes down to being the prize, if that makes sense.
And I love your analogies. They're spot on a lot of times. I speak in the same way to old school Aesop fables. That's how my grandmother raised me. And you spoke earlier about the chicken and the seasoning. So, you know, I kind of wanted to revisit that. You know, I don't know if you've actually been on a farm, but generally there's one rooster and a bunch of chickens. You know, they ain't two or three roosters, unless you got about, you know, 20 or 30 chickens. So, you know, if we just go to some of the models that we have in nature, you know, by cause, you know, a lot of animals aren't necessarily monogamous. You know, so, you know, there is some disproportionate value even in, you know, our ecosystem. So, you know, sometimes, you know, some people are chickens and they have to find one rooster. Sometimes they're, you know, they're seahorses and they mate a little differently. The men watch over the babies. So, you know, there are levels to this. So sometimes, you know, I understand how you have presented your practice, you know, your experience in your marriage. I appreciate it, love it, you know, love hearing about it. But as a man out here in these mean internet streets fighting with these women who put a picture up and now they got 700 likes and that thinks it goes to feed their delusion about themselves, because we have a economy of, and I hate to say this, but beta men are simps that, oh, just please let me get a date or a chance or whatever. So that inflates their perceived value to themselves instead of really giving them an accurate interpretation of what their dating value is. And I agree with a lot of what you're saying, but, you know, like the tools that we have in, you know, like I said, this attention economy with the social media, it doesn't support the things that you're speaking of, which are real.
It supports more of what?
It's just the reality is what's working. Because a lot of times people will, one man came in my office and he just thought he was the stuff. And I said, well, who told you you was the stuff? Well, look at what I drive. Man, I make six figures. But his kids don't like him. He's been married three times. And the only thing I can tell him is, you know, life is like a computer. We want to be upgraded. We want different programs to come in our lives and upgrade us. But you got to know the difference between a program and a virus. I just think there's a lot of people who walk around being viruses are entering into their head, and they believe in that the virus is a computer program. And regardless of what our world is becoming, you know, for us, the statistics, you're still going to have to stay the best you. So I can just testify, being with Chisholm, and this is the only woman that I ever been with, that she have upgraded me. But in our marriage, at times when I thought I was upgrading her, I was really speaking viruses in her life. And we was able to bounce back from those hardships. So now that, you know, even my wife is beautiful, but my wife know how to forgive. My wife is beautiful. She's fine, but my wife know how to cook. My wife is beautiful, but my wife love our kids. So the reason why I hold on to Sonya is not because of the hips, lips, and fingertips or statistics. I hold on to Sonya because Sonya is a good person. And that's what I think. If you are a prize, instead of saying it, won't you show it? And maybe somebody will believe it, in, even if it's yourself, if that makes sense, my brother.
Yeah, I just want to know, are y'all Android and iPhone over there, since you talk about computers? I just need to know that.
That would be
hey, man, that's what you
see.
Got out of that, man. That was some of my best work.
Right, that was the takeaway from that, Android or iPhone. But I do want to
That's important. You got different people now. You know, Android users a little different than iPhone users.
You're right, because as you know, I'm the Android, and I know you're the iPhone. We're very different. That goes back to kind of
you
what
not the virus, you know.
Right, long as you're not the
virus. Well, I guess what I'm saying is you get less viruses on an iPhone than Android.
The iPhone.
That's right.
You're
right.
Thank you, Steve, for that. Tech tip.
That's good perspective.
Thank you. But back to the comment that Moses said, and it ties into what Stacey J said earlier about people need to kind of know themselves and that reflection of themselves. But one of the things that I think is interesting is that we live in the social media age. And so do people really know who they are, or are they creating a persona of who they want to be? Like, you can go online and post a bio and be anyone. And be anywhere. And so I think some of this disconnect and helping people be their authentic and true selves and becoming the prize is that social media prevents them from really knowing who that person is, because I'm mm-hmm. creating this persona that literally lives online. And so you read people's bios or things they post on Facebook or online or whatever these social media apps are, and then you meet them in person, and they're not the same person. So I think there is even a disconnect there when you talk about people having to kind of have that self-awareness piece and knowing who they are. It's kind of hard for some people to know who they are because social media is dictating to them who they should be.
And this is why I tell
dating,
Dr. God, that's powerful. And this is why I tell, especially my black sisters, I love my black sisters because we would not be in business if it wasn't. And I don't think the black community would be where it's at now without the black system. And what I tell my sisters is, before you know who you are, you have to know what you are not. See, learning what you are not is becoming who you are. And I think a lot of people major in what they're not, trying to find who they are. So you have to know both. You know, I did not want to be a womanizer, and I had to learn that first. I didn't know at 19 I'd be a therapist, but I knew I didn't want to be a gangster. I knew I didn't want to be a womanizer. You know, so a lot of time we got to major in knowing this is not what I want to be. And I'm not going to continue to call this ideal my reality. So before you know who you are, learn what you are not.
Well, isn't that speaking to society changing and, you know, the, you know, quote unquote TV programming, which I always think is real programming, of the images that we see, you know, the TV shows of the 80s and 90s are a lot different than, you know, what you see with your Real Housewives and, you know, the reality TV movement. So I think that the images are marketed to people thinking that that is the proper way to go about conducting business.
Right.
Yeah. Like when you talk about the reality TV, you know, the job of the reality TV personality is basically to build their brand, to go on, to sell products and their wares, but the only way that you can be on the TV show is to be pretty much, you know, a character and outlandish. So it's a, you know, a cycle that kind of repeats itself, you know, whether it be, you know, I have nothing against Cardi B and, you know, starting, you know, dancing and, you know, eventually going into the music industry, but, you know, it's a narrative that is mimicked far too often instead of, you know, going through a traditional educational process.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Cardi B, she got all that money, but no one ever taught her how to drive, you know.
Well, I guess she can afford a
who needs
you
know how to
drive
when you make all that money?
But then you
right.
You know,
what about baby?
You can't to depend on somebody else.
And that's that codependency mentality.
Yeah, I can't
roll
with that.
I guess at one particular time in my marriage, I thought I was the prize until I almost lost Sonya. And I found out I was just a substance needing to be mixed well with her. So my biggest point, Dr. God, in this subject is if you are a great substance, be that great diamond. But what is a diamond without it being on the ring that's full of gold? You know, you don't ever see a woman just wearing a diamond alone.
Okay,
it's wrapped around. It's wrapped around something. Mm-hmm. I just think people need to really testify that they have substance, and and stop trying to put it on. Get 1,000 likes saying that I'm the stuff. I just got a problem with that. You know, you don't, Dr. Guy.
We already know that how I feel about social media.
Well,
look at my social media pages. They are like non-existing.
Well, I mean, I think that we also – go ahead, Dr. Guy.
Oh, no, go ahead and I'll tie it up.
Well, I think what we're speaking to once again, Mr. Chisholm, is just the evolution of society. If we go back to, you know, just reach, like my grandmother and my grandfather, their reach was, you know, 10 to 15 miles, you know. You know, you go back to your parents and their reach might have been whoever they were in high school with, and if they went on to higher education, maybe college. And now, you know, like I said, with the internet, you know, I can be chatting with somebody in Senegal. So you know, your reach is a whole lot greater. And, you know, I think with the reach, there's a lack of the responsibility for having those understandings. Like, I think also when we speak about, you know, people and we talk about social and economic status, you know, if we talk about some of those women that make six figures, that don't have an understanding that a guy who's got a plumbing company with five trucks might make more than her. You know, she wants somebody along what she sees because that's just her knowledge of life. You know, so I think it's more incumbent for us to, like you said, develop and have more substance so you'll have a greater understanding of what's in front of you instead of, you know, the narrative sometimes that is has been pushed upon us. You know, I always tease Dr. Guy about, you know, they tell girls, you know, keep your cookies to yourself, go to school, get your education, you know, and then, you know, you'll find your man. But, you know, in, you know, 20, I don't even know when it started, but there was the whole is winning movement because there were a lot of women that did all of that only to lose their man to some stripper or a babysitter. So they had followed those models, but, you know, had not developed some of those other softer skills like you talked about with Ms. Chisholm about cooking and being able to be that talent scout to, you know, speak life into you and to get you from, you know, where you went to, you know, having your doctorate and being a successful practitioner. So, you know, I think it's a lack of those soft skills. And, you know, Dr. Guy and I always go back and forth about this. You know, the education process is masculinizing women to the point that, you know, they have lost a lot of those skills because they want to just provide and be able to be in that sphere. And that's why they're losing their man to the stripper, the babysitter, who has the soft skills, who comes in and asks how your day, and don't say, you know, dude, I work too. Like, you know, where my food at? Like, you know, having an understanding about that balance that you both are, you know, out there slaying dragons working.
Yeah.
You guys, this has been a very enlightful discussion tonight, and so I thank my guests, Moses and Sonia Chisholm. I hope you guys will definitely be back on the show. I hope that everyone's takeaway from our topic tonight is that it's something that you think about, that being the prize, there's no right or wrong, but there's more than just the gift wrapping paper, that there's this development of the self, the substance piece that is essential in you creating this holistic idea of who you are as a person. And so we do want everyone to feel that they are the prize because you truly are. Like, I believe in when I work with my clients that I don't care what you look like, what you do, how much money you make, you are definitely the prize. Now, how you interpret that in your relationship is up to you. But the goal, as Stacey J said earlier, is that everyone in relationships should really be striving for a healthy relationship, and that's that collaboration and partnership that they find with their mate. And so, as always, you guys, it's been wonderful having you. Stacey J, thank you tonight. Steve, thank you. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. And you guys, don't forget, it's every Sunday at 5 o'clock Central Time, Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. Don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on, tell a friend. Everybody have a blessed night. Thank you, you guys, for calling.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. Bye-bye.